Nahu, Mikey P, Mike Probosi, back for another stable segment this week on the Harness Players podcast. And we have, I would say, a very, very special guest here. And it's Laura Brower, who was the sister of the late, very well known to harness racing, Dave Brower, who passed not that long ago. And we all know how important he was in harness racing. Well, Laura's here to, you know, talk about her evolution into racing. And, you know, the stables.ca has been a very big part of that. Laura, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Mike. I'm really excited and happy to be on this podcast to talk about the stable.
And it's been really, actually, we were talking a little bit off air, and it's amazing to meet you and to hear some of your story, because you're a nurse, and you talked a little bit about that and the things that you know, you started to do to get involved in your career. So talk about yourself a little bit. Talk about, you know, your career path and how you've kind of, you know, you just got going and what you're doing now in life.
Well, I was a neurosurgery nurse for 13 and a half years. And then I wanted to go further. So there were a few things on the list of what I thought I might want to do, but I really didn't want to go back to school. So it was legal nurse consulting. So I do that full time. I'm 7 years in my business now. And attorneys, personal injury, medical malpractice, workers' comp, they hired me to analyze all the medical records in their cases. Now I have 50 nurses all over the states, different specialties that complete work or are experts in the cases that I help attorneys out with. So I've been extremely busy with that. And then my giving back to the community part is I am a transport nurse for special needs children in the school district. So that is my giving back to the community. They kind of keep me busy too. So I'm like, I don't know when I have time to sleep. I feel like Anthony McDonald also at times. That is why I really wasn't around the horse stuff. That was, my father brought my brother and I when we were young, and the Meadowlands opened in the late 70s. And, you know, I'm sitting on the floor coloring and getting my face painted in the paddock. And my brother just took off with it. He really loved it. And every single job he has ever had in his life had to do with horse racing, and that was his passion and that was his thing. And then I discovered mine, and I kind of went with that. So I really didn't have much time to be around. Like, once in a while I can get to the Hamiltonian or something, or maybe bring my kids, but I was really, really busy. So we never really talked about that stuff.
Yeah. And then all things changed not that long ago. It was almost about a year and a half ago now that he passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, it was at that point then that, you know, you started to get involved in racing.
You know, how I chose to honor Dave was to go around to all the tracks that he loved to go, meet the people, go to the barns, meet the trainers and the owners. And see, you know, a lot of people just will know the owner or the trainer, where, you know, Dave, he went to the barns and he knew the caretakers. He knew everything about everything. And that's what everybody loved about him. So I feel every track I went to, I felt like I was like closer to him, you know, being around all the people he would always be around. So, you know, I went to the Little Brown Jug. Oh, I love that. I said, I'm ready to go next year. Didn't realize that they only race 5 times out of the year. It's like a whole like family reunion of all the big, you know, harness racing people who own horses or whoever won a jug race. And then going over to Lexington, and that's a whole different experience as well. But, you know, I went around to be there, be around, leave some of his ashes so he could still be there, you know. And I can't even tell you, the whole industry embraced me based on the love that they had for me. Like, I learned so much about it, and it has totally sucked me in. I came home from lessons saying, I'm ready to buy a racehorse. And then Dave Little's wife, Debbie, she said, you know, I'm going to hook you up with Anthony McDonald. You know, he has this fractional horse ownership stuff, and, you know, it's a way to get your feet wet. I'm like, oh, okay. So she told me how to look up online, and I did. And then by October 15th, I owned a piece of, so, you know, not knowing, you know, or understanding the model of the stable, I figured, okay, let me pick some New Jersey bred horses so they'll at least come to New Jersey. And I'm a very hands-on person, you know, being a nurse. I want to go to the barn. I want to feed my horse some carrots. I want to be able to see them race, you know. So he had two New Jersey bred yearlings up on site to buy shares from. You know, it's past the Lexington sale. So this was, you know, there wasn't that much left. People jump on that right away, as I've learned. And I was so excited that I posted it, like, Dave, I was on his Facebook page going, Dave, you're not going to believe this. I can't imagine what you must be saying from heaven. Like, are you crazy? Or, oh my God, what took you so long? You know? And I've changed things around and navigating through their online website. But, you know, I don't think there's anybody who can do what Anthony Rustell does. I absolutely love him, and I haven't even met him yet. My busy schedule, whether it's in the car, whether it's in bed, just before I go to sleep, I watch every single video. I watch every drone of my horse's training. I can have a crap day, and I can't wait to come home and watch my horse race on the TV or qualify or just train. I can navigate. I moved horses around. Like, I have 9 horses now. I have pieces of 9 horses. I think I have like total of like 25 or 29 shares. Like, I can't even track anymore. But I'm so happy with the horses that I have in my stable right now. And I'm so looking forward to stake season. So I'm having a lot of fun. Everything's transparent, you know, everything that's going on. You know what's funny is that I even had somebody go in my inbox online and say some things. I said, you know, I'm kind of having fun with the stable. You know, not everybody can be happy about it, right? And what their experience may be. And I don't think there's that very many that have had, you know, an experience that they weren't happy with. But I said, hey, you know, I'm having a really good time. Please don't try to take me away from this fun I'm having. You know, I had a really good relationship with them. I understand what's going on. I know I'm not going to make a ton of money. This is for fun. This allows people who don't have a lot of money, can't risk a large amount of money to buy a horse. You get a couple shares and a horse here and there, and you just take advantage of all the fun that it has to offer. Just, I'm really having a good time with that.
No, that's great. It's very it's the ultimate testimonial, really. And talk about when you first started. You said you had shares in those first couple babies. Yeah, did those horses do well at first, or how did you evolve?
About 1% mm-hmm. both horses, right? I said, well, at least I have more than one to watch, right? And then my brother's old girlfriend, Erica, she went and bought a share of the same horse, so we can kind of root on them together, right? You know, unfortunately, that one that we had together ended up, he wasn't doing so well, so he sold them. So the downside is you don't have a say in those kind of things, right? But Anthony McDonald does what's best for the stable. And I'm understanding the model of how he moves horses around. And, you know, he's got a lot of horses there now, both in Ontario and Ohio. It's just huge. And I understand it. I understand, you know, when he has horses that are in certain classes. And another one is finishing out that class and going on to the next class. But he already has another horse there. So does it make sense to race against each other? So if he can't find another place for another one to go, then, and depending on how good they are, and if he was just using that horse as an overnight horse, then he'll put him up for sale on the preferred site, and then we move on. So when I first bought the first 2 horses, and then I just started navigating through the site, learning and seeing, okay, well, just because there weren't any shares available, it doesn't mean I can't buy them privately. So then I listened to Anthony's videos, and I go, oh, okay, this horse is doing really well. Maybe I might try to get some shares of those. Let me put a bid in and see if maybe somebody is getting rid of some shares because they're buying some new babies. So maybe I can take advantage of getting another share or two and have another horse to watch. So then I learned on, okay, I can pick up a couple overnight horses. I can bring in some purse money. Then this purse money can then help take care of the babies, you know. And then I learned that it's the same amount of money each month for the care of a horse, whether it's an okay horse or it's a great bred horse that has a lot of possibilities, right? Bright future. So I said, well, it's better to kind of invest in the ones that could be better, right? Then it's more exciting. So I told you I've learned a lot. It means what? It's going to be, in 3 more days, will be 6 months. And I can't even believe how much I know now. I'm having so much fun.
That's awesome. I love the story. I love your enthusiasm. I love the fact that, and you did a lot of this, you know, on your own. And even though your brother was, was an absolute, you know, top of the sport, top of harness racing, knew the ins and outs, basically knew every horse that was racing at the Meadowlands and racing a lot of places all over the country. And here you are now, you know, to honor him, and you're jumping in with both feet, and you have some really nice horses too, especially you're involved with Texan Soprano. That horse is really good, really good right now.
I jump in the car and I drive to Yonkers to watch him race. I bring my granddaughter. She loves him. She loves to go. So, you know, with Yonkers, we can't go inside. Obviously, there's a casino, but there's an entrance right there that we walk in, and then we're right there, and she's hanging onto the fence, and she's going, "Let's go, Tex! Let's go, Tex!" And then we get to go in the winner's circle and take a picture. So you can own 1% of a horse and go in the winner's circle. Watch them. Go to visit at the barn. You can go to the barn every single day with your entire family if you want, because that's your horse. And this is what makes it so great. So great. I love it.
Yeah, I think Anthony's going to probably get this podcast and just put it directly on the front of the website, because this is the ultimate selling point, I think, for the stable, just to have somebody like you at the forefront of it. And talk about your relationship with Anthony. You said, you were telling me off air that, you know, he answers your emails within a couple minutes.
Oh, he does. You know, when I first started, I didn't want to go throw my brother's name around. I'm just trying to, and I didn't want to look stupid that I didn't know anything. And he knew everything there was to know. There isn't a question you can ask Dave that he didn't know, past or present, and have the answer for. So I didn't want to look stupid. So, you know, I started to do my thing, and then until I had a question, right? So I emailed Linda, because I spoke to Linda more than Wendy. And I said, "Linda, you know, I really don't know a whole lot of this. I have some questions. Can you please help me out?" And then she came back, you know, and she's like, "Of course, no question is a stupid question. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to find somebody who does." And I said, "You know, I don't know if you know, based on my last name, who my brother was, and he knew everything." And she goes, "You know, I thought that name looked familiar." And then, you know, because I didn't, she went and put Anthony in our email at this time, because she wanted him to answer my question. Then Anthony comes on and, you know, he talked about how he just spoke to Dave for like a half an hour the night before, you know, the night of his passing, and how we got into that. And I told him, I'm like, "I need a little help here. I'm having fun." And, you know, so now, like, I can ask Anthony, I can send him an email, and within 5 minutes, he's answering it. And I don't even think it's just because I'm a special person. I think because he does that with, now I'm good friends with another owner of Texan Soprano, who lives in Long Island. We meet there at Yonkers in front of the winner's circle, hoping to get our picture taken. And he does the same with him, too. So he dedicates his whole life to this. His kids are involved, you know, it's his whole life. Like he does his videos from the car with his kids, and, you know, he's just really doing a great thing. He loves what he does, like him and his wife. Like Amy cracks me up, because he'll put her in the videos and you can see her rolling her eyes like, "Oh, can we finish this already?" And I crack up because it's really funny what goes on between, you know, the two of them. And I just love the whole, I just love everything about it. He really has just done something great, really has. I told everybody who's having these webinars. And, you know, I was at the Dan Patch Awards in Orlando at the end of February. That was like the first part of the announcement of Dave's induction into the Hall of Fame. And I had many conversations with people there. And then one of the people happened to actually be Edison Hatter's father. And he's like, "Oh, you know what? I really got to look into this." Then he was seated at the table with John Campbell himself, telling him, "Hey, you know, Dave Brower's sister, Laura, she's doing this and that with the stable." And his eyes were lighting up as he, Mr. Hatter, explained to John Campbell what he was doing. Because I think it's really great for the industry. I do. I really do love everything about him. I'm having so much fun. And I tell them all the time, "Thank you for what you do. Like, you made this possible."
I do think it's interesting that that when somebody, the opinion of, when everybody's opinion of somebody is exactly the same, that person's very genuine, and that they are who they present themselves to be. I mean, you know, some people can kind of be fake and different things, but there is not one bit of that about him. So everybody that speaks of him,
he tells it how it is. Right. Too. It's not, you know, you'll hear in some of his videos, like, "Listen, I can't please everybody. And it is what it is. Like, I have to do what I have to do that I think is best for the stable and all the owners." Like, I can't possibly please everyone. You know what? Hey, you don't have to stop your emails. You don't have to stop your calls. I'm here. I can take it. But I'm also going to tell you the same thing that I tell everyone else. And this is what we have to do. And it is. You just have to understand the model of the stable, and then you'll understand everything that he does.
Well,
he explains it for the team.
You said you have shares of 9 horses right now. Do you have any pending babies coming up? Anything that looks like that's going to be rolling for into this year?
Yes, I am looking forward to stake season. I was able to acquire a little bit of memory and imagination. So this will be his sophomore year, and he is training absolutely great. So he should be starting soon. Momentum Mari is another New York bred. Actually, I think he's also some Kentucky. He's also training really well. I think he's actually staked in the Breeders' Crown. So he's bred very nicely. There is Tetson Soprano, who I really love, and having all this fun. So one of my guys, Brett Old Chap, he is a baby that is just struggling with his gait. And, you know, people were very well bred, triple eligible, Kentucky, New York, and I think it's Massachusetts. And he was struggling, but there's like his personality, his work ethic, like he was really trying. I said, you know, there's something about this horse, Anthony. People are dropping shares and I'm picking them up at really inexpensive prices. I really think there's a horse in there. And I have so much confidence in you that you are going to bring the horse out of him that I think he can be. So, you know, I have a lot of them I'm just really looking forward to. And then All Gas No Brakes came back. So I had Walter's Keepsake, and he was my, you know, overnight horse to bring in some purse money. And he was my first winner. And I was a little disappointed when we had to let him go, but I understood. And then we actually got him, he was traded for All Gas No Brakes to come back, which he's a pretty good horse. He had a little bit of an injury, and he's training again now to come back. But, you know, I've got some good horses. I'm ready for stake season. Unfortunately, I have 2 cruises booked this summer, which might interfere with me watching live stream, but there will be people sending me videos.
Well, the great thing about YouTube is you can always go back and catch them later.
I can go back. And then, you know, Anthony and everyone who works in the stable, he's got such a great team, all of them, really. They'll post those last clips of whether, you know, they won first, second, third place, whatever it may be. And that's how I could see that as well. Like, I couldn't watch live, like, from a cruise, but I do have social media stuff, so I can see those clips. So that'll be a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Well, talk about the website and the ease of use. And it seems like you're almost treating this like shares of stock in a lot of ways, that you can go on and kind of jump in and out of different things. And you see something you like, you're in, you don't, you're out.
You know, Mike, I am not very techy at all. I'll be the first one to tell you what I don't know how to do. I'm really good at the things I do know. But so I get on and I'm like, okay, wow, this is a lot. But I learned really quickly, when it's something that you are interested in, you're gonna figure it out. You just are. You put things more at the top of the, you know, the top of the list there than others, right? So I learned about, like, okay, so here's how I can buy and sell. So I have flipped horses when I was able to acquire those other ones that, you know, some big shareholders were letting some go because of some babies that they bought. And I said, okay, so, you know, I'm getting a little idea in here. Like, I'm getting ahead of myself. Wow, I have all these shares. So then you got to remember that you do have to pay, you know, per percent that care fee, right? So I had to sell some that I knew weren't going to be as good as them so that I could have those better bred horses and be able to watch them race. Because, of course, you know, you want your horse to win. That's the exciting part of it, right? So I looked at how I do that. Then, you know, you can look at your monthly invoice to get an idea of where you are, like if you're, you know, doing too much, your share transactions, how you sell, how you buy. And then the commentary, there's a tab, I'm actually putting it up right now, where you can go in, each horse is listed. You can see their picture. You can see their race lines. You can see their breeding lines. And, you know, I was just like going into that and said, wow, okay. And just learning about it all. So, you know, when my first horse raced, I go and I look at the program page and I go, oh my God. So when I was younger, I would just go by the color of the horse or their name, right? And then Dave, he started to explain certain things about, okay, well, you got to look at the driver. Oh, you got to look at his stats. Oh, you got to look at the different tracks. Because, okay, well, he may have been this fast at this track, or may have come in first, second, or third at this track, but this is a different track, or maybe it was sloppy, or things like that. So I was like, oh my God, my head was spinning. But I actually had to go on YouTube and look how to handicap. And I'm like, Dave, like, I need some help here, right? So, you know, I just have learned so much from him, whether you are an inexperienced person or whether you have someone, you know, who would be like my brother, who would watch, listen or watch any of his videos and things like that and still be entertained or be able to follow along. It didn't take long for me to be able to follow along with his, you know, the lingo and everything. That even when I went to go visit Dave Little at the Meadowlands and I started talking about one of my races, he's like, look at you with the lingo. I go, I know, I'm learning. You know, it's just been a lot of fun. Like, I can't recommend this enough for anyone who's interested. Like, even 1%. Just try it out, get your feet wet, and then you're going to be all in, you know?
Well, this has been absolutely amazing. I have enjoyed this time with you. I can appreciate the fact and how far you've come in such a short period of time. And you can tell that you love it, because if you didn't, yeah, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. And just the way that you speak of it, I do think that you need, maybe you might get another job here after this, because Anthony is going to have you doing PR.
Let me tell you, I'm ready, because I'm a nurse, right? I had to do I was exhibiting in Washington, D.C. This last week, and was at an attorney conference. So I had to drive through Northern Virginia and pick one of my nurses who's from Georgia up at Dulles Airport. So I'm going and I go, wow, they have an equine hospital here? I started looking into, like, equine medicine. You know, I go and visit Tex over at the Mark Ford Stable with Megan Scran, and we talk about that. She even asked me some questions. So, you know, the blood work on this horse, and what do you think? And so I started looking into some stuff. Like, you know, you're never too old to do anything. So I am so interested in this that, like, I might just dive right into something having to do with all of that. Because, hey, I'm also ready to get out of New Jersey. I can go anywhere with what my business does. So you never know what might be down the lines. You might have to pick this podcast up at a later date, maybe steak season or then further to see what I'm doing now.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to catch up with you again. I do appreciate your time. There's a couple upcoming webinars for the stable.ca. Saturday, April 27th is the next one, and that's from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Monday, May 6th, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. I just did one this past week, and very informative. Mm-hmm. Very open to questions. So if you're interested at all in this fractional ownership, and after listening to this, I don't know how you couldn't be.
I couldn't be.
But get involved with the stable.ca. And Laura, if I could get you on here again, maybe this summer.
Into my schedule. You know how that is. But this was fun. I'll make the time. I will. I'm going to make the time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Yes. Thanks so much, Mike. I hope you do speak again.